Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Mick Jackson is 50-something and lives in Toowoomba, Queensland, Australia. He has been a motorcycle enthusiast for over 35 years and is passionate about sharing the thrill and exhilaration of the motorcycle ride experience with other people. He's been working for a number of years to develop Live to Ride motorcycle tours. It's an innovative, new, disability-friendly, motorcycle-based recreational activities and tourism service that will provide disabled people with the capacity, ability, and opportunity to enjoy the thrill of a motorbike ride in comfort and safety. Mick has designed an innovative, new, disability-friendly sidecar outfit that will allow access for a passenger that uses a wheelchair or will allow a disabled passenger to travel with their carer. From June 19, 2018 to July 18, 2018, he will have a crowdfunding page to raise the funds to build innovative new custom design sidecars and start this unique disability-friendly tour service for members of the community. Let's help him out. Hi, Mick. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hello. How are you going, Leanne?
Really good, really good. I'm excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
We shall.
Excellent. All right. So do you want to tell us a little bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
I'm living in Toowoomba in Queensland, and I'm in my mid-50s, and I'm currently working on a really exciting new project that's going to make a difference for a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Do you want to tell us more?
Sure. What I'm doing is I've been a motorcycle riding enthusiast for like 35 years now, and I really love sharing the thrill of the ride with other people. So what I'm doing is setting up a motorcycle tour business that actually specialises in working with people that have disabilities and special needs. It's something that I've worked on for a number of years now, and it's a project that's rapidly coming to fruition now. So very exciting times for me.
Yeah, definitely exciting. So do you want to tell us a bit about your story? Where have you been to get to this point?
I've been riding for most of my adult life. I grew up in Sydney, in the western suburbs, probably one of the poorer socioeconomic areas. Worked and got a trade and done a number of different jobs throughout my life. And basically everything that I've done in the past is sort of helping me to develop what I'm putting together now. I've had a trade background, and while I was involved in that, I got heavily involved in the occupational health and safety side of things because I saw too many of my friends getting hurt and injured terribly. So I thought I could do some good with learning about occupational health and safety, and basically wrote the procedures and protocols for a company with 70 men in an engineering shop, and went on from there. I've done some work with the Rural Fire Brigade as a volunteer for 5 years. I've also served in the military, in the Army Reserve, as an artillery gunner for a while, where I met my lovely wife, who I've been with for 37 years now. So, we've seen a lot together and been through a lot together, and this is a really good time of life for us. We've got a couple of grandchildren, 3 children, 2 grandchildren. And really enjoying their company and spending time with them as well.
Oh, beautiful. Definitely sounds like you've done a variety of things, which is fantastic. Did you have different points in time where it might have been a tipping point to go off in a different direction?
Yes, well, actually one of the big tipping points, as I said, I had I was a tradesman, so I was always very fit and doing heavy sort of work. And I suffered a serious back injury, which basically meant that I had to stop working pretty much overnight. And what I found was the physical injury was debilitating at the time, but sort of became more manageable with time. It's still a major issue for me, but what I did discover was that the emotional effects of that physical disability were far more severe than the the ramifications of the physical injury itself. Basically, being a big, strong guy, you and being proud of your sort of being reliable and your strength, and that's what you base your ego and self-esteem and everything on. All of that was gone, so I basically had to reinvent myself and learn how to not beat myself up about the things I couldn't do, and train and retrain in new sort of fields so I could carry on working when I could. And but it was just a very heavy hit, and I think a lot of people go through that when they have an issue like a sudden disability or a sudden injury, which totally changes their lifestyle, changes their work opportunities, changes their leisure activities that they can compete in, because I was always heavily into sport. Didn't like watching it, but loved getting involved in it. And all of a sudden, all of that was gone. So, it was a big moment, and it took a lot of years to sort of come to terms with that. And fortunately, I have a very supportive partner and my family around me, so that was very helpful. But suffered terribly from depression for quite a while there, and fortunately finally found a good counsellor who helped me work through that. And actually, part of what I'm doing with this business is going to be part of my rehabilitation, because this will allow me to sort of ride on the good days and share that experience with other people. But on the bad days, I can sit back and do the administration side and the marketing side of it and the organisation. So it gives me the flexibility to work with my disability and still be productive and make a contribution to the community, which was really important. It was something that I lost for a long time there when I was badly laid up. And so this is giving me a whole lot of new opportunities, and it's going to give a lot of other people around me some really good opportunities. And I think having the experience of that physical disability and also the emotional trauma that went with it has put me in a good place to have a understanding and compassion for the people that I'm going to be taking for rides in the future, who have got their own challenges that they're living through and working through. So I have a unique perspective in that respect, that I'm gone through a little bit of what some of these people might have gone through, and have a slightly better understanding.
Yeah, definitely. So with those little points in time where you might have gone off and, you know, you've gone through the different things, as you said, through the depression with the counsellor and changing the different lifestyle that you have, did you think they were like lightning bolt moments or a slow rumble to get you to the point, nah, I've got to change and do something else here? What actually happened then?
Well, I went through quite a bit of, what would you call it, denial, thinking that I could battle on through the injuries and I'd pick myself up. And that took me quite a while to learn that, no, that wasn't going to happen. It was more a matter of managing over time. But as far as this motorcycle tour service goes, I think one of the lightning bolt moments was when a friend of mine was away working, and I didn't have a bike at the time, and his Harley Davidson was actually sitting in his shed on his farm with nobody watching over it, and he had to work away for a year, and he rang me up and said, how about you come and take my bike for a year? And I did that, and it was really cool having the bike. And I was riding along one day, and I thought it'd be really nice if I could just rock up to the hospital and then take some sick kids for a ride in maybe one of the cancer clinics or something like that. And when I sort of pursued that and researched it, I found out that there was a lot more involved than just going in and taking someone for a ride. You had to have all sorts of authorities and things. So I was sort of motivated to go and set up a motorcycle tour business in the past, where I set it up with a couple of solo motorcycles so I could go around and do these sort of goodwill rides, if you like, you know, and just make somebody's day a bit better. And what I found was that it took a lot of work. It was a lot of cost involved. Basically, I had to become a public transport service provider, pretty much like a bus company. So I had to go through police criminal checks and driving checks and do medicals and all sorts of things to get my authorities to run the business and to do tours. And it was nice doing rides with people with traditional tourists. But on a few occasions, we were called up and asked if we could help out with people with special needs. And actually, a lot of our inquiries were from disability support organisations and carers asking if we could take somebody with a disability. And through that, we did some events with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Also through Cancer Council events, we got to take some sick kids for a ride. And we have a 1 week in the year, later in September, I think it is, where it's called Disability Action Week. And there's a whole bunch of little events going on in different local areas, and I got involved in some of those. So I had experience taking a whole range of people for rides with special needs. And in fact, the people from the Make-A-Wish Foundation called us up one day and said, "Oh, look, do you reckon you could donate us a bike for an hour to attend our Christmas party and take some of our kids for a ride?" And I said, "No, we can't do that. But what we can do is we can bring all of our bikes for the whole day, and we'll take the kids and their brothers and sisters and their parents and their other family and friends that come along. And we'll get everybody involved, or as best we can anyway." And it was a real buzz when Santa turned up on the back of a Harley Davidson. That was a real thrill for everybody. The parents were all keen to look at the bikes. The kids were all chuffed to have the bikes there. And we put as many people as we were able to on the bikes and took them for little rides around and shared that experience. And what was really cool about that was is the shared experience was something that they took away. It created such a buzz, and that gave those people memories that they could take away and share with each other afterwards and reminisce about together in the future. Having a ride by yourself is a nice thing, but going for a ride with a group just heightens the whole excitement of it. And that was such a feel-good moment. But I did have one regret, and that was that there were some people there that weren't able to come on the rides with us, basically because the safety standards that were accepted and the vehicles themselves, the solo bikes, really weren't set up to cater for people with severe disabilities or special needs. So what I did, I ran the business for 6 months as a trial, or what I considered a trial. I learnt heaps out of it. And folded it, and then I spent the next few years actually meeting and liaising with disability support organisations, talking to people with disabilities and special needs. I did a stack of workshops learning about it, and I even spent some time working as a disability support worker to learn more about what these people needed and how I could accommodate them in the future. And as a result, I've basically rewritten the tour ride manual from the ground up. I've got all new, totally new riding procedures and protocols, new safety standards that I've drafted up. I've created an expanded rider training program, which will train my riders to actually understand and to be able to cater for people with a disability and special need with a consideration to their individual needs. The main thing about the business is the safety and comfort and protecting the dignity of our passengers. I did talk to some people in wheelchairs when I was doing my research and asked them if they'd like to go for a ride, and they said they'd love to. However, they wouldn't do it because they didn't like the idea of getting manhandled and lifted onto a trike or into a sidecar. And I took that on board, and basically I went away and I've designed an innovative new style of sidecar, which is a extra wide sidecar, so I can take a carer along with our special needs passenger. Also, I have a wheelchair accessible sidecar. The back of the sidecar drops down and creates a ramp, so a person that uses a wheelchair can actually access the sidecar under their own steam without having to go through the indignity of being picked up and moved, and also the risk involved with that for them and for the person carrying them. So it gives them the capacity to participate without with as little interference or assistance from anybody else, so they can, it gives them independence. Mm. So, yeah. So this new sidecar is an innovative new concept, and it's going to cost a little bit of money to sort of get it built, but all new things do. But I'm really excited about having that. So what we'll be able to do is we'll be able to enable people and give them the capacity to experience the thrill of the motorcycle ride and share in something that a lot of us just take for granted. Mm-hmm. So it's all about social inclusion. People that are normally excluded because of their condition will now be able to jump on with us and go for a bike ride. Some people will be able to go on a solo bike. Some people will need to use the sidecar, but nevertheless, the opportunity is now going to be there for them to get involved and share the thrill of the ride with all the rest of us.
Sounds awesome. Absolutely awesome. Now, you've been telling us about some challenges along the way, you know, it's red tape and that sort of stuff. What keeps you going, though? What keeps you putting one foot in front of the other to keep going? Is it a big vision?
It's a vision I've worked on for a long time. I did have a period, I did try to establish this a number of years ago, and I have the support of all the disability support organisations in the community. I had across the board support from everybody that I sort of approached with it, and what I did was I had letters of support from the different organisations that I was going to use for supporting evidence to go in with grant applications. I was applying for government grants to build the sidecar and to train the riders and set the business up the way I needed to. Unfortunately, the federal government decided to call a general election, and basically all the grants and funding just froze overnight. So I was devastated because I'd put quite a few years and many thousands of hours into getting it to the point where it was ready to go. And everybody was excited about it. There'd been some publicity saying, you know, we're going to be here soon. And unfortunately, that all just evaporated overnight. So that was a real challenge for me, and it was very disheartening. And basically it sat on the back burner for a number of years, and it was something that I was always thinking about, and it was always annoying me, and I felt a bit ashamed and a bit guilty that it didn't sort of come to fruition. Until last year, I happened to get a phone call from a lady who was a carer. She happened to find my old website that I didn't realise was still up. And I just got this phone call out of the blue saying, would you be able to take a terminally ill man for a ride? One of his last wishes is to go for a ride. And I said, unfortunately, I didn't get my funding and the business isn't operating anymore. So I really can't help you with that, because she said the man isn't able to go on a solo motorcycle. He needed to go in a sidecar or a trike or such. So that was the end of that. But overnight, that night, I sort of thought about it, and I'm in a bit of a social organisation here, a loose group, social group of motorcycle riders and enthusiasts. So I put it up on our Facebook page. Would anybody be able or interested to take a terminally ill gentleman for a bucket list ride? And within an hour, I had four people jump online that had trikes or Can-Ams. I don't know whether you're familiar with those. They're like a trike but backwards. There's two wheels on the front and one on the back.
I've seen those, yeah.
Can-Am Spider. And, within an hour I had four people that were keen to get involved, and I called the lady back, the carer back, and I said, okay, well, here's the go. We've got a bike that would be suitable for him. It's just a goodwill ride. There's no money or anything involved. We'd be happy to do it just to give him the thrill and fulfil his wish. And she said, oh, listen, do you reckon you might be able to get a couple of extra bikes to come along, because that'd be a real thrill for him? And I got back online and posted up that we were going for a ride with this gentleman. If anybody would like to tag along, please do. And he'd really love the and it'd be very exciting for him. So we organised a ride with our friend, and on the day we picked him up, and we had my own bike and another bike that we took two carers on, and we had the spider that we took our passenger on. and we picked him up from his facility and rode around the corner to a parking lot, and there was another 18 bikes sitting there waiting for him to join him in the share the ride with him. And he wasn't a very verbal person, but I heard him giggling under his helmet, and he had a grin from ear to ear. And part of his wish was that he wanted to ride through town so he could wave to the girls on the side of the road as we stopped at lights and things. So we organised and we did that, and then we went out to a little town outside of where we are. So we did about a bit of city riding and a little bit of a country ride, and he had a big group of bikes out there with him, and he had a great time. And by the time we got him back to this facility a couple of weeks later, he was exhausted, but I know he had the time of his life. He was really thrilled by it. And through that, a whole group of people, including carers and support organisations and indeed the riding community that I sort of travel around with, they've all come forward and said, look, you've got to try and have another crack at getting this service up and going again. And the political environment has changed a little bit since then, and I think everybody at the moment is very conscious about disabilities and the exclusion that people go through. So I'm finding a lot more support today, and that's really motivated me. Just all these other people coming forward has motivated me to have another push at this. So, yeah, one of the challenges was that at first I got knocked down, but now because of everybody else's encouragement, I've decided to have another crack at it. And the support that I've got from the community, from politicians, from disability support organisations, it's just overwhelming. And I feel really humbled by it. I'm just a simple biker, but all these people have come forward and really motivated and inspired me to push on with it. So it's going to be a damn fine thing when it actually comes to fruition and is established and up and running. So
this sounds so wonderful. I really appreciate you telling us all about this, because it's just an absolutely wonderful thing that you're doing. So what about the future? What's exciting about the future for you?
Oh, exciting about the future? Mm. Well, having this thing going and doing charity runs with people, getting involved in community events. We've got a carnival up here we call the Carnival of Flowers that happens every year, and I'm hoping that my bikes will be ready by then, because I've entered, you know, so I've entered this in the parade. Mm. This is what it's all. This is the excitement that I'm going to be able to hopefully make a living out of something that I'm passionate about and something that I enjoy doing. And like people say, you know, pursue what sets your soul on fire. And I think that's what I'm doing as well. So it's a lifestyle thing, you know, being involved with motorcycles. And I know how bad I felt when I couldn't do it, when I was really bad health wise. And getting back on the bike was a big boost for my morale and self-esteem and how I felt about the future. So it's freedom for me. It's a future for me. It's a living for me. What else do I look forward to? I look forward to watching my grandchildren grow and thrive. They're really amazing kids, and they bring so much to our lives at this point in time. You know, in our mid-50s, this is it's a really nice time of life, actually, because we're past all the BS. We don't sweat the small stuff. We enjoy the little things that happen every day that make life good. Sometimes you can lose that, and it all gets obscured in the rush and the bustle and hustle of life. Where now I can and sit down and really enjoy feeding the magpies, or patting my dogs, or taking them for a walk, or sitting down with my grandkids and doing some drawings, because I've got a little bit of a background in art and also design. I tinker in the shed with contemporary furniture design. And my granddaughters love getting involved in that. So I feel really excited about just spending that time with them, and they love it. It was quite funny. My kids weren't that interested in coming down the shed with Dad, because it seemed like a bit of a chore. But since my grandchildren were little, every time I went down the shed, there's two little sets of eyes looking over the top of the workbench. What are you doing there, Pop? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? To the point where a couple of years ago for Christmas, we bought them a little tool kit or a little set of tools, and their first project was making their own toolboxes, and they love that. So they've done all the gluing and screwing and sanding and assembling them and clamping them, and they got a huge thrill out of that, and they just love spending time in the shop. And even with their push bikes and things, oh, Pop, I've got a flat tyre. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, how are you going to fix that? So I'll give them a bit of guidance, and they're the first ones to go and grab a tool if we need one. And they know all the tools. They know what a shifter is. They know what a pair of pliers is for. They know a Phillips head screwdriver from a flat screwdriver. And I just think that's so awesome, you know, to be able to share that with them and for them to be so engaged by it. That's really cool.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I love that. All right, let's have a change in pace and we'll do a bit of a speed round.
Sure.
What's your favourite book?
The Dictionary.
Oh, just check out
I like looking through every now and then, but I like to expand my vocabulary.
Yes, yeah.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do like to know what words mean, and I think I've got a fairly broad vocabulary because I have the curiosity to go and look up what I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I love the words. I love to know what they mean.
Yes.
Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
Probably my beautiful wife. I met her when I was 18, and I came from a fairly harsh background. I lived with a lot of domestic violence, emotional and physical abuse when I was young, and as a result, I was badly bullied, and I ended up having to become the bully to escape being the victim. Mm. And as an angry young man, I met this lovely lady, and she taught me to have a different perspective on life and taught me to look at things from other people's perspective. So she's been my saviour and a great mentor through life, and she's taught me the gentler side of life. She's taught me to have some compassion because I was headed down a pretty horrible path, and without her, I wouldn't be a shadow of the man that I've become.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my wife, my best friend and mentor.
I love that. Do you have a daily ritual that works best for you?
Get up in the morning, I have a cup of coffee. And I'm shot without my coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
Depends on what work I have on. I do like to have a sleep in when I can.
Yeah.
But if I've got work on, I do like to get up early and get into it. That's part of my trade background. It was always early starts and late finishes, where now I've got the flexibility to do the early starts when I have to. But I enjoy a little sleep in every now and then.
Do you have a favourite food?
Pizza.
Oh, yes.
And I love making my own pizzas as well.
Yes, I'm with you there. What about the country or the city?
Well, I grew up in the city. I've lived on the coast and I currently live in the country. I love the hustle and bustle of the nightlife of the city. I don't like the crowds. I love the quiet of the country life and the friendliness of the people. You can walk down the street and nod to people and smile and get a smile back. And when I lived on the coast, I lived in a small town with 3,000 people. And you could go into town to go to the post office, and you get out of your car and it'd take you half an hour to walk 30 metres to get to the post office because everybody pulled you up in the street to see how you were going and have a chat. So I've experienced all different sides of it. But, yeah, it's nice. In Toowoomba, we're the largest regional city in the country, I believe. And we've got about 150,000 people, but it's like a big country town in a lot of respects. So it's a nice place.
Yeah, it certainly is. I love Toowoomba. What's a piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
I guess my little story that I contributed to a thousand stories was very short and sweet. It was to try everything once, to not sweat the small stuff, be kind to other people and do no harm. Okay. So get out there and have a try of everything, and that way you won't regret what you haven't done in the past.
Oh, I love it, yeah. I can't wait to read all the stories that come out of the Thousand Ripple Effect because Stacey's doing such a good job putting them all together.
Oh, it's going to be so diverse, surely.
Yes, Yeah, so give me some great advice in those. All right, so last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
Probably as a younger man, it'll be okay. Don't be so hard on yourself and don't be so hard on other people.
Oh,
nice. Things will work out in the end.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank
you so much for your valuable time today, Mick, and sharing your story. I really appreciate it. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Okay, well, if anybody would like to contact me, actually, I've got a crowdfunding page opening on the 19th of June, running till the 18th of July to help me build my disability-friendly sidecars. And you can go to www.startsomegood.com/whataboutme. And that's the URL for my crowdfunding page. And if anybody would like to talk to me specifically, send me an email on LTRMT, that's LTRM for Mary T, at bigpond.com. And they can talk to send me a message with a phone number and I can give them a bell or send them a message through the email.
Excellent.
Thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
That's been a real joy. Thank you so much.
Well, Igniters, Mick Jackson is truly an inspirational person who has turned the adversity of becoming physically injured and emotionally affected to persevering in his passion to help those with special needs go for a bike ride. I love how he says to try everything once so you don't regret anything in your life. Please support him on his crowdfunding page, www.startsomegood.com/whataboutme, or email Mick at ltrmformaryt@bigpond.com. And to see how you can learn to live that adventurous life, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.